God has given us a future and a hope. He's given us a future and a hope, yes? And I want to start tonight. I'm not going to preach for a few minutes, so I've asked the musicians to stay, and we've got some of our singers. Can we get some of the rest of them up in a moment? Is that all right? Because I want to start tonight by ministering. That's right, isn't it? Because, see, God has given us a future and a hope. And I think tonight we come into situations like this in all sorts of states of mind and of body and of soul. And God, and sometimes we're not living in hope. We're not living in a future that's built out for us and prepared and established because we're carrying things with us. And I believe God wants to start tonight in this ministry time of preaching with actually ministry. And when I was there, I came innocent. One of the things I've learned about God, see, is He loves cutting across our plans. Amen. We've got our plans, we've got our program, we've got our future all set out. And God says, that's a really interesting future you've planned for yourself. I've actually got a few things I want to fiddle with right now. All right? And we're going off in this direction, and suddenly God comes in and turns us around. Aren't you glad you serve a God like that? Tonight, if you've come and you don't know Jesus, I want to tell you, He wants to invade your life, because what He's got for your future is better than anything you could plan. If we get onto the scripture that I was going to preach, in case we don't get it, you can go home and read it. We'll get there. It's in the book of 1 Corinthians. Paul said, don't look there, please, don't look there. No, it'll just be a waste of your time. Just take it home. 1 Corinthians, Paul says, what eye has not seen, what ear has not heard, what has not yet entered into the heart of man, that is what God has prepared for those who love Him. And folks, if we think we've got our future all planned out and prepared and plotted, and we can put it down on paper and say, I've got my goals and I've got my motivational arrangements all set out, and I've cut it down into subheadings and sub-subheadings, and I've got down to 1.1.3, then I want to tell you, you're in for a surprise, because God's got things you've never imagined yet, planned for you. Prepared for you, the Bible says. He isn't just sitting up in heaven saying, I wonder what I could do new today. Their life's boring, I'm bored, this is boring, boring, boring. Let's do something different today, shall we? I'm just going to fiddle for the fun of it. Hello? That's not the God I serve. The God I serve prepared, planned before time began for my life. And by revelation, I hear and see what God's planned for me. I'm walking along and I've got it, it's all arranged, and I know God's said He's going to do this, that, and the next thing. And then suddenly revelation comes and my life is turned around. When I was 17 years old, I was desperate to know God. I was desperate to find an answer for why I existed, what life was all about. And God came and intervened. Hallelujah. He brought revelation of who He was. He showed me who His Son was. I suddenly realized that I was accepted in Him. I didn't have to change because He could change me. He accepted me like I was, but He had the power to utterly transform my life. Hallelujah. And that moment when I was 17 years old, lying in my bed at home in my parents' house, I knew I was born again. God had a future for me. And now I don't know if you're like me, but some of the things that have happened in my future were not things I would have planned for myself. The call to prophetic ministry was nothing, something that had never entered my mind. What eye has not seen, or ear heard, or entered into the heart of man, God has prepared for those what who love Him. Not just who are fiddling around with life or making decisions for themselves, but have utterly consecrated themselves to pursuing Him. God will do extraordinary things through your life. And I want to begin by reading this scripture. Because I will get to my sermon, I'm sure. Luke 8. Because I just think God wants to move right now in healing. I'm sitting there. God, you're just going to do tonight. This is great. You start the worship. I think, oh my goodness, there's something supernatural here tonight. It's beyond just the realm of the normal. We sing that song, Healer. That's called Healer, isn't it? We sing it. Sing, Ma, I hadn't planned this, God. This wasn't in my mind. This wasn't in my heart. This wasn't even in my imagination. Yeah, God will go beyond even what we can imagine we can do if we respond to Him. And I just felt God say, I want to do healing tonight. One word, multiple. I think, oh, multiple myeloma, multiple all sorts of things, multiple sclerosis. We are going to pray for that tonight. What's the multiple, God? And then He leads me to this scripture, Luke chapter 8, about the woman who, it says, had the issue of blood. It says, as Jesus was on His way, the crowds crushed Him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. Hear that? No one could heal her. that interesting? That's one point at which Scripture wasn't quite accurate, because the one person who could heal her was there that day, right in front of her, waiting for her to reach out and touch him. And it says, she came up behind him, that's Jesus, and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding was stopped. We know the story. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Because power had gone out, and he knew something significant had happened in this woman's life, and she confessed to it. Now, what we may not realize is that particular version of the story was written by a doctor. And there's a dirty little secret in there. Because Luke, the doctor, wasn't going to let down the profession. But if you turn to the book of Mark, you'll see it says something that Luke couldn't find the guts to say, was this: the woman had spent everything she had on doctors. Now, I was a doctor, so I know what it's like to be on the giving end of something that doesn't succeed. You've given your life, your time, your energy, your passion to see somebody healed, and they're not healed. And they leave and go to someone else, and they're not healed, and they leave to go to someone, and they're not healed. And the Bible says she went to many or multiple doctors, until she had spent everything she had, and still she was not healed. And this day she came to the one person who could heal her. His name was Jesus. And she'd been robbed of everything that she had because of the illnesses and diseases that she had. And tonight I believe there are people in this room who are on the verge of being robbed because of the illness they have. You may be robbed of your hope. You may be robbed of your future. You may be robbed of your financial security because of the illness you have. Tonight, God wants to heal you. I can't heal you. The people around you can't heal you. For many of you, the doctors you've gone to have not been able to heal you. But I want to tell you tonight, Jesus Christ can heal you. And right now, if you have had multiple operations, I want you to stand right where you are. That was the first thing God said to me. I want you to have people who had multiple operations to stand. Just stand where you are. That's three people. 4, 5, 6, 7. This isn't an altar call. This is an opportunity for Jesus, the Master, to come and touch your life. I want you to close your eyes. Those of you standing. I want you to close your eyes. Right now, I want you to reach out your hand to the Master. And we're going to touch the hem of his garment right now. What eye has not seen, what ear has not heard, what hasn't entered into the heart of man, God, could I be healed? Well, tonight, God is saying yes in Jesus' name. Come on, God is saying yes in Jesus' name. Come on, God is saying yes in Jesus' name. The power of God to heal right now in the name of Jesus. The power of God to heal right now in Jesus' name. The power of God to heal in Jesus' name. The power of God to heal in Jesus' name. Multiple illnesses and diseases cured by the power of Jesus' name. Not just his desire, not just his heart, but the name of Jesus has power and authority over sickness and disease. Now, if you're still standing, somebody right beside these people, reach out your hand. I want you to still stand, please, with your hand out. Come on. Multiple operations right now in the name of Jesus. We're going to believe for breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Multiple power of God. Multiple interventions of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, there's faith here right now. There is faith here right now. If you're standing, receive the faith of those who are amongst you. It says Jesus could not do many miracles in that place because there was no faith. Tonight there's faith for you. There's faith for healing. There's faith for healing. There's faith for healing. There's faith for healing. In the name of Jesus, we just declare the beauty of Jesus Christ, the wholeness of the Lord God Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. Hallelujah, who creates and fashions and molds and re-establishes our lives. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, guys, just reach out. Can you touch some of these people right now? Touch some of these people as hands are laid on you. As hands are laid on you, just people around, the ones who are standing, reach out and touch them, please. Physically touch them. As you feel a touch of people on your body right now, I want you to receive the touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. touch the hem of his garment. Come and let his power flow into your body right now. Let his power flow into your body right now. I'm not looking just for minor changes. I'm looking for supernatural intervention right now with the power of God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. 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 Oh, 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 oh. From the very core. Oh, God. In the fiber and fabric of this body. Lord Jesus, let it rejoice in hope. Lord, abandon it not to the grave. Hallelujah. Jesus. 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 That's it. Just let the breath of God, Lord, breathe right now. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Isn't God good? Now, those of you who have stood have been ministered to, received, maybe the power of God has touched your life and you've been just overwhelmed by Him, let that reside on you right now. Just let that reside on you. Ignore the preaching tonight. I don't care if you don't hear a word I say. If you carry home the presence and anointing of the Holy Spirit, healing is just going to abide there. Thank you, Jesus. If you're still standing, stay standing. There's no need to sit down. If you're still standing at the end of the service, that's fantastic. I'm not going to look at you. No one else here is going to watch you right now. Right now, multiple sclerosis. Is there anybody here with that disease? That's where I want to start. Is there anyone here that carries that diagnosis? Because I want to tell you at the moment, there's no cure for that disease, as far as I know, known to man. But I've read this morning that Jesus gave authority to his apostles to cure diseases. Not just heal sickness, cure diseases. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give a declaration to God right now, curing of diseases. Yeah! Yeah! Right now, if you need a disease cured, I want you to stand. There's faith here right for that right now. If you know someone with multiple sclerosis, I want you to reach out in this moment because I believe God can intervene for us. And the other thing I want to pray for are multiple diseases. So let's do that first, and then I want us to break through in terms of the authority to see God cure disease. Is that all right? People are carrying tonight multiple diseases. And that doesn't mean you're like a hedgehog. You understand, you carry all sorts of infections and stuff. I'm talking about people, you struggle with more than one illness in your life. And right now I want you to stand. Just right now, just wherever you are, just stand, come on. Come on, there must be more than one person, two people, three people. You have arthritis and stomach pains. You have hay fever and, well, asthma and hay fever are a similar kind of thing. You can take both of those. Come on, you've got multiple diseases right now. I don't know if you're like me. I have a GP who treats me for free because I was a doctor. But I know today that going to doctors is a very expensive venture. Yes? $40, $50, $60. Then you go to the chemist and pay another whatever on that. So there are people here tonight that God's got an answer for your diseases. Now you can sit and observe. That's a great idea. But I think that you're wasting a lot of time and money. Because Jesus, the healer, is here tonight. Come on, if you need a breakthrough in healing, stand where you are. People who carry intractable diseases. Come on, any intractable disease. I'm being obedient to God right now. This has nothing to do with how successful I feel if you stand or not. This is a moment in God. Come on, if you need God, if you're at the supermarket and they were giving you a free checkout counter, anything that you could have in the bag, in the basket, you run it past the aisles, throw everything in that you need, get to the checkout counter, they give it to you free. That's what Jesus is offering tonight. Well, this is a great population of healthy people. Is that right? I am staggered. Come on. I'm going to pray for those who are standing. Then we're going to pray for a breakthrough. It's not just for us, it's for others. The curing of diseases. But come on, if you need God, there's no embarrassment tonight. Maybe I should just get us all to stand and then, you know, you could hide by sitting down if you don't need to be healed. And reach out, shall we, right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare the power of God Lord, on these men and women, we say, let them be free in Jesus' name. Lord, let the power of God, come on, the power of God, touch lives right now in Jesus' name. Lord, sweep over this place with your glory, Lord, with your power and with your majesty, in the name of Jesus, your Son, manifest your glory right now. In Jesus' name, manifest your glory right now. Manifest your glory right now. Hallelujah. Manifest your glory right now. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Father, we speak to illnesses that will not go away. And we say, feel the touch of the hem of Jesus' garment right now, because we take authority over you in Jesus' name. And we see your power broken, and we see your right removed, revoked right now in Jesus' name. That the power and anointing of God might rest on these men and women. Hallelujah. To the glory of your name. Yes, to the glory of your name. To the glory of your name. Come on, let's give them a shout tonight of praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I said we were, and so we're going to. Right now, I want us all to stand for a moment. I want us to take authority over the curing of diseases right now. This is not just for tonight if you're sick. It's not even just tomorrow when you go to work or for us as a church. It's as we walk in our daily lives, we become people who carry the authority. Jesus gave that to his disciples, and we're now receiving it. Yep. Here, Inspire Conference 2008, first night Thursday, not waiting till Sunday for this to happen. Right now, reach out, receive the authority of God to cure diseases in Jesus' name. Hallelujah! 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 God! 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 Miracle! God! Body! Whoa! No release! In Jesus' name! In Jesus' name, hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in obedience to your word, we reach out and receive from your Son today the authority to cure diseases. We receive the power to pray for the sick and see them healed. We declare today that demons will flee because of what you've placed in our lives in taking authority over the kingdom of darkness to see your glory revealed, and the kingdom of God is established in this place and through our lives. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, 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 yes. Yes, yes, yes,
yes. Turn to the person right beside you, lay your hand on them and say, I impart to you the power to heal the sick. And I impart to you the power to heal the sick. God good? Amen. Let's give an applause, shall we? Just to say a huge thank you right now. Yeah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Your praise. Amen. Why don't you take your seats? Well, I hope the other speakers get a chance to preach, you know, when God starts moving, they might not get into the content. I do want to share some things with you tonight, and it won't be long. But I feel that So you guys can do whatever you want to now. It's entirely up to you. Yeah, okay. She doesn't trust me. I just think we too often live our lives ordinary. And so often that's, I think, because we make our own plans and programs. We all have already sung, your ways are higher, your thoughts are higher than mine. And ask myself the question, what's going to make a difference? Well, this is the sermon now, so just in case you... What's going to make the difference in terms of me being able to live a life less ordinary? I think the answer is when heaven invades my life by revelation. And the theme of this conference is imagination. And the scripture that's used for that is from Ephesians 3, verse 20. God is able to do more than we could ask, think, or imagine. And I've already quoted 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 and 10, which says this, what eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man, God has prepared for them that love him. And the first thing I want to say here is that God isn't going to do something. He isn't going to plan or prepare something he already has. And one of the things he's prepared to do is to do more than we can imagine. Amen? And we just need to walk into what God has prepared for our lives. There are two parts to responding to the future God has for us. The future and the hope. One is the future that he has prepared for us. He's prepared a future. And the second part is he's preparing us for the future. And so often we go through circumstances in our lives, suffering, pain, difficulty, frustration, annoyance. It's because God's actually preparing us for a future. And there are two sides to that equation. God can have a great future for us, but if we aren't prepared, we're never going to be able to walk into it. We can be prepared, but if it isn't God's future we're walking into, then we're going to become frustrated. And what makes the difference? Revelation. Knowing God has spoken to me, I've heard him and seen something and begun to imagine something that wasn't there for me before. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, we are God's workmanship. That's me. That's a preparation of me. Fashioned beforehand to walk in works he's prepared for me. That's the future. He's prepared. I'm his workmanship. He's prepared me to walk in works he's got for me. That's the future. He's prepared for me. And there's this partnership that takes place and is released by revelation. I wrote down here, what are some of the things that revelation does? Revelation builds. Matthew 18, verse 16, Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who's in heaven. And on this rock I will build my church. What was he talking about? Revelation. On revelation I'll build. And when revelation comes into our lives, we build ourselves a safe and secure future. Our plans and our programs will leave us uncertain about where we're going to end up and what God's going to provide for us. But when we walk by revelation, we're building securely. The second is revelation releases to us provision. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 26, Paul talks about how he received the understanding of the Lord's Supper, and he said, I received it by revelation. What I also passed on to you, that a night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and gave it to his disciples, saying, this is my body which is given for you. What is all that about? When we receive revelation, it releases us to give a lifestyle of abundance. That comes by revelation because we see the supply that God has for our lives. When we see the storehouse of heaven, it's easy to tithe. Hello? Isn't that right? When I'm in my limitation and withdrawal symptoms because I'm in a poverty mentality, I look at my bank balance and the budget and the bottom line is all red, I'm going to withhold. When I see my supply as the bank balance or my business or my employer, then I'm not going to be willing and released necessarily to tithe. But once I see God's storehouse, I'm going to give as much as I can because there's big holes left behind that God can fill again. Hello, why? By revelation. Revelation releases generosity and supply. When we withhold, then God withholds. When we give, God gives. And revelation releases that to us. Revelation leads to relationship. Moses and the burning bush. When Moses saw the burning bush and heard the voice speaking to him, Moses did not say, what are you? He said, who are you? And then Moses received a revelation that changed the history of the world. I am who I am. Joshua in Jericho meets the pre-incarnate Jesus. What does Jesus say? What does Joshua say? Are you for me or against me? What does Jesus say? That's not the question. The question is, are you for me? or against me. And when he had the revelation of who Jesus was, Joshua could conquer Jericho. Revelation leads to relationship. Paul on the road to Damascus again cries out, "Who are you, Lord?" John 16, verse 14, Jesus said, "The Holy Spirit will take what is mine and reveal it to you." Why? So that we could have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Why is revelation so important in our lives? Well, to me, it fits around the scripture I've quoted from 1 Corinthians. Is this, it lets me see what's unseen. Nick said tonight, the most real things are unseen. And we live out in the seen realm, the things that we grab hold of in the unseen. If you're not seeing anything in an unseen realm, you're never going to live a life that's extraordinary in the visible world. Hello? Because it's just going to be what your eyes seen, what your ears heard, and what's come into your mind. It's never going to be anything other than predictable and ordinary. Hallelujah. The difference is revelation. When you encounter God in a life-changing way, the whole idea of the word revelation is to unveil or open back or to draw back the curtain to see something. It's like the drama of our life being acted out in front of us. And suddenly some people come on stage we've never seen before. When I was 24 years old, I was in a situation where there was prayer going on, and the pastor that I was in prophesied that God was calling me to be a prophet. And suddenly on the stage of my life appeared this person called Don Lake, the prophet. And I'd never seen him before. He was a very unusual, strange-looking fellow. And in fact, the whole experience was so frightening that my now wife, Helen, ran out of the room. Because it was so scary. Why? Because there was nothing in the natural realm that predicted what God was doing in that moment. And suddenly, heaven revealed itself to me and to us and to that room full of people, and my destiny was changed. Why? By revelation. You see, my eye hadn't seen what was on the stage of my life, and suddenly something appeared by revelation. And I joined the actors on that stage, and it's been a ride ever since. As it is for all of us when we see what God has got for us. Suddenly the curtain parts and we see what's there. That's where hope exists, in the unseen realm. It says, how can it be hope if we've already seen it? That's what the Bible says. That's where the future exists. We haven't seen the future yet except by revelation. Isn't that right? Horoscopes try and tell us. Crystal balls, all those other things try and tell us. But they never actually lead us to God's destiny. Only revelation can do that for us. That's where the supernatural exists. If we want to live in a realm where the power of God is working in our lives, we need to be walking in revelation. Second is this. It's a place that ear hasn't heard. How often when we're growing up and being told you can't do this, you can't do that. You'll never amount to anything. That's impossible. Don't try that. People shouldn't do this. People shouldn't do that. And we live in this realm where what we hear determines what we believe. And scripture tells us that faith comes by hearing. And so if you're hearing negative things, what you'll believe is negative. But I'll tell you that the future God's prepared for you has nothing to do with what you've heard. If you're here tonight and you've lived in an environment that has always put you down, I want to tell you God's got a revelation for you tonight, for your life tonight, that'll break you out of that. Why? Because he's got a future prepared for you. A plan for a future and a hope. A plan to do you good. Yes? And not evil. When we hear by faith, it causes us to see. Hebrews 11 tells us. It causes us to know. It causes us to receive from God. It causes us to perceive clearly the things by revelation and have our eyes opened. If we want to get a clear perspective on our lives and the lives of others and what God has called us to, we need to hear him by revelation. Because it's not going to come to natural ear. And the last is, even our desires won't necessarily predict our future. See, when we walk with God and we have desires that are same as his, then it's highly likely that what we will walk into is God's will for our lives. But just because I've got a desire doesn't mean that it will necessarily predict my future. Why? Because what God's prepared for me hasn't entered my heart yet. It's one of the shortfalls or shortcomings of some of the motivational teaching. Well, if this is what you want to do, just plan yourself for it and it'll happen. No, folks, God's got things you've never planned for, never believed for. I wrote down here because it was was a really incredible example for me is my wife is somebody I hadn't desired. Because I never knew God had such an extraordinary woman for me.
Come on.
Why don't you come up? They might not see you again except for tomorrow when we're ministering together in the prophetic workshop.
There we go.
Isn't she fantastic? And you see, this lady was the president of the hostel that she lived in at university when we went there. And I had a friend who told me, you know, that he wanted to be like William Booth and walk around the corner and see Catherine Booth preaching on a wooden box and knew that that was his wife. And I thought that would never happen to me. And my mate said, that's how it's going to happen for me. And it never did. He fell in love with his best friend. But I was in a baptism service and this fantastic person. See, I knew God had called me, but I had no idea what I needed to walk into that. I didn't even know what the desires of my own heart were. And God had planned something for me called Helen Everett. And I'm song leading innocently. Isn't it great when we're innocent? I'm song leading innocently up the front, about 10 feet away from Helen as she begins to share her testimony with the people from 40 people from the hostel who have been invited. And instantly in that moment, I knew this woman was my wife. I never believed it would happen to me, you see, because God had a future prepared for me that had not been my desires. And I got more than my heart could desire. Incidentally. And I want to say to you, sometimes these things have never entered your head, let alone your heart, that God has prepared for you. And folks, we need to live in an expectation God's going to do that for us. Amen? God has plans for our lives to give us a future and to give us a, to do us good and not to do us harm or evil. You know, sometimes I think that we are afraid of letting God reveal things to us because we are afraid he might do us harm. We know that the future can be scary and sometimes suffering is part of our future. And we need to learn how to embrace that as part of what God has prepared for us. God, make me a great man of God. Lord, increase my capacity. Lord, I want to have a life, you know, that when I come to the end of it, I'm celebrating your greatness. And we pray those things. And we pray those things. We want to make our life worthwhile. I'm 17 years old and I want to come to when I'm 150, you know. And I want to come to the end of my life and know I've done it well. And God looks on and says, oh, I've got 20 years to get them ready and about 15 things I need to do. Okay, I'm just going to squeeze it all up right now in a thing called suffering. Amen? And that's part of the future God's planned for us. And we need to be able to embrace it. Why? Because with suffering always comes glory. I think there are three levels of the work of God in our lives. There's the goodness of God. And that's what he brings out of problems that we have. Then there's the greatness of God. It's what he wants to do in us through our suffering. But then there's another thing called the glory of God. And I'll tell you, folks, the unexplained events in your life that have to do with suffering are all about glory. What you can't explain in this world, God has explained in heaven. And angels are watching us to see what response we make to the things we can't explain. Because they are the things that are going to become part of our glory. Yes? And we so easily and so often live in the realm of the natural, what our eye can see, our ear can hear, what our mind and heart is understanding, and yet God has got things prepared for us we don't know nothing about. And some of those folks are still in heaven. Some of the result and outcome and purpose of suffering is still in heaven. Why? Because it has to do with glory. And sometimes that glory can't be contained on earth. It can only be contained in heaven. Job, going through the experiences, his three friends had no idea of what God was doing. His mate Elihu had a bit of an idea, but God breaks through and says, all you guys are idiots. You have no idea what I'm doing. And then reveals to Job the conversation in heaven with Satan and the desire to test Job. There are things that go on in heaven when we're suffering we know nothing about. And sometimes we demand that God reveals them to us and he refuses to because he knows it's going to rob us of our glory. Yeah? And I think sometimes in our suffering, it's the Bible tells me this, that God has a future that's good, not evil. And when we're in the middle of what appears to be evil, I believe that the thread of God's mercy is stitching together parts of our lives we never knew belonged together. And we're in the middle of something that's overwhelming and can't contain or control it. And unknowingly, the golden thread of God's mercy is stitching our lives together. The goodness of God is there. And then one day, the evil passes and we suddenly find that we're mantled with a garment of praise. Or a mantle of authority. Or there's a mana on our lives that creates an aroma that's attractive to people. Why? Because God has prepared something for us that we hadn't planned. And he's stitching it together with his glory. Folks, we need to be able to release ourselves into that. I want to finish by saying this. I've got great news for you. You can build a safe and secure future that can endure every experience, good, bad, and otherwise, because of revelation. When you know that God has spoken to you, it can take you through any circumstance of life. Yeah? And the great thing for me is that God has planned something for you that will stagger your imagination. Yeah? In this conference, we want to let our thinking be expanded. We want to begin dreaming of things and letting imaginations come inside. But folks, if you will move by revelation, God will stagger your imagination with things you hadn't thought of, you hadn't heard anybody else talk about, you hadn't even seen for yourself, because that's how God works. Amen. And tonight as we finish, I want to pray for this. I want to pray that God will release us into a glorious future. Yeah? And we often stand on the threshold of God's purposes for our lives, and we shrink back out of fear because we don't know what might be involved. And I'll tell you, the safest place to be is standing in the presence of God with your arms thrown high, saying, God, bring it on. Whatever is okay by me, because this is where I want to be right now. I want to stand in your presence. I want to be completely yielded to your purposes for me, because then God will start speaking revelation to your life. And what seems crazy and unusual right now, God will turn around and give meaning to. What you can't understand, give room for God to explain it in his time. And if he never explains it, start to rejoice in God that it's locked up for you. There's glory in heaven right now. Yeah? We don't like that currency very much. I don't like it a lot. We joke, don't we, about I've got a lot of questions I'm going to ask God when I get to heaven. Folks, when we see the glories laid out before us, there'll be no questions left. Now I know. Oh, amazing. Why don't I worry about that? Angels watching, demons getting confused because we don't throw our fist at God when things go wrong. Wondering why we delight over tiny things when they're actually an experience of God's goodness to us. We're going to see them all. All arrayed out there in heaven for us. And you know, the way to begin walking into that today is by saying, God, I'm giving up my own ambitions, my small ideas, the petty things that I've dreamed of and planned in my mind and that I've heard people say. Even the sermons I've heard preached that have given me an idea of what I could do. Tonight, God, I want to stand in the realm of what I never thought I could do. What I never dreamed was possible. What had never come into my mind or imagination. Amen. Can we stand tonight? If you want to remain seated because that's more comfortable for you, that's fine as well. But sometimes when we stand before God, we're making a statement. Reach your hands out. Father, we just come tonight. We say we want to live in a future that's mapped out by you. We want to be able to say yes without even knowing what the question is. We want to be able to answer you before you've called. We want to position ourselves, God, to let you do what our eyes have not seen, what we've never heard about. God, and in this world today, to see breakthrough for your gospel, to see this nation taken for Christ, to see nations of the world taken for Christ, we're going to have to walk into things no one has thought of yet, and it hasn't even come into our mind's eye. God, we want to bow the knee of the desires of our heart to, yes, let you bring your desires, but God also to do beyond all we could imagine or desire. Because you're an incredible God, sovereign and powerful. And tonight, God, we say yes to you. Come, just reach out your hands. Open your heart right now. Just say, just begin saying yes to him. Just begin saying yes to him. Come on, maybe it's in your family situation and you just can't face another day of walking through what life is offering to you right now. If you say yes to him, God's going to bring revelation of breakthrough. Maybe you do have illness and we haven't prayed for that tonight. We haven't seen breakthrough. God wants you to know that right now. And I'm going to take long over this. I just want to give room right now. In a moment, I'm going to give room to minister to people, but let's just begin doing business with God. Thank you, Jesus. Just let the arms of Jesus embrace you right now. Grab hold of your life. Hallelujah. Father, we say yes to you tonight with all our hearts, with all our minds, and with all our imagination. Lord, we let you come in and stand in the center of our life and command in Jesus' name. Let your word come, Father, and take authority over our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. And let there come an answer from our hearts of yes to you. Father, in the name of Jesus.
If you're afraid, just wind up as a fearful person,
or you know that God has got things in your life that you don't know that you can cope with, suffering or challenge your faith that you're not big enough for, tonight I'm going to pray. If you've got it all figured out in your mind and you know that your life is not really amounting to what you want,
so we're going to pray for breakthrough tonight. Very specific failure, fear. We've got it figured out, but it's not actually meeting what you need. Tonight, as we sing this chorus again, I want you to make a response to God. Position yourself at the front. Say, God, I'm stepping into my future. Yes, a future that's been prepared for me for good and for not for evil. Hallelujah. How can we do that tonight? If that's you, we want to be able to see breakthrough tonight for people to live great lives, to live beyond their imagination, to live into something that's extraordinary, where the supernatural power of God is upon them. Come on. I let you come in and take over control. No longer will I make the decisions, but I let you bring a fresh start. I turn away from evil and turn to you. Father, send your Holy Spirit into my life to make me new. Again, I pray in Jesus' name. I give myself to him tonight. Amen. Now, if it is you, I want you to talk to the person who came with you or somebody who's beside you. It was stuck in the back door and nobody knew you were here. God knew you were here. And he wanted to grab hold of your life. Those of you at the front, I'm going to come and pray for you in a moment and believe that God will bring release and breakthrough for you. Yes? Because he's that kind of God. If you want to still make a response while we're praying, I'm going to hand back to Pastor Nick. But if you know your destiny is on the line tonight, don't go home and wait till tomorrow. God might do something completely different tomorrow. Tonight it's all about a future and a hope for you. Father, thank you. That's what you offer to us tonight. Thank you, God, as we pray for these people, there's going to be release for them into something extraordinary. In Jesus' name. Amen.